This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerd Talk Plus is a work of fiction by idiots. Nothing said within this episode should be taken as scientific fact, life advice, or even honesty. We should probably recommend against listening at all. Since you're here, no getting mad about this very dumb thing without the express written consent of Major League Centaurs.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
As heard on 107.7 The Inn in Seattle, hello there, I'm Gregor, and welcome to my ridiculous Nerd Talk, only longer and dumber. It's Nerd Talk Plus. Our littlest boy got so small that he disappeared, and so
where
we won't be hearing
nuts?
From the Lord of the Horse Ghost Manor, Brandon from the internet.
What?
Yeah, he's, this all happened off air that I realize now, but we discussed that he's trying to buy a new house, and that the, in the back there's a former, like a horseman's
place. It used to be like a track, as far as I know. Like a horse track.
Yeah, and so like people that would like run the horses would be based out of there or something? I don't even know. Anyway, he's trying to buy this place, and we're going to convert the backyard house into Siege's new home. So
that's right. I'm going to live with all the dead horses.
You can bring your family. Everyone will live there. Not like your kid or anything, but like your like parents.
That's okay. I don't have a family. I abandoned them.
Okay, good. Well, we might not have Lord of Horse Ghost Manor with us, but don't worry. Your pervious dreams can still come true because we do have one hell of a horse ghost whisperer.
Wow.
He's your horse meat daddy. He's Siege.
Oh my goodness. Hello, that is Siege. Beautiful.
I told you, you're prepared. Sir. I prepared.
Wow. Man, you took this week off seriously.
Yeah. That's nice. And keeping us honest or dishonest from behind the scenes and schooling us at the end about what we get right or possibly more likely wrong, he's producer Sean Gravy Gervin. Now, none of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, perhaps what we get right. Basically, I just said Gravy's job again. Or you could tell us directly without having to have a person there to smugly look at us when we get things wrong and Google it to prove that we are idiots. You can do that not in real time, and we can get the messages later by going to nerdtalkplus.com. You could write a review or just find us online to say sexy things about Siege. Again, nerdtalkplus.com. Have the people spoken, Siege.
Oh my goodness, the people have spoken. They must have taken Thanksgiving week off to catch up and annoy us. which is wonderful. I love it.
Love you for that. Thank you.
I've got a bunch of messages here. First off, we've got Michael from Valparaiso, Indiana. He writes, I laughed so damn hard at this one listening to you guys and wanted to write to you all about it, but then I couldn't remember what I was laughing about. Then I saw it on Siege's TikTok and was like, oh yeah, ADHD, I need to write them. And then I forgot about the writing part. Then I just saw it again on Instagram and finally remembered to put it all together. This is not a bit. This is all because of my own ADHD.
Welcome to the circus, brother. Valparaiso, Indiana. I wonder how close that is to Bloomington, Indiana, where my family lives.
It's Chicagoland. It's right there. Nope. If you're taking the train from Chicago, you pass Gary and you hit Valparaiso.
Oh, okay, cool. So that northern western Indiana. Okay. Well, Michael, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you for that. I got one from Miss Helen who was like, I don't have kids, but I've been around plenty and I feel you on whatever you were talking about. I don't remember what the message was now, but so stoked to have. Oh, she said it's really hard to, she was very sweet. She's like, it's very hard to listen to your show when my husband is sleeping next to me. And I was like, oh, yeah? And she's like, because I start laughing. And then wake him up. I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that's very sweet of you, Helen. Uh-huh. We appreciate
you. Thank you, Miss Helen. Yeah. I've got another one here from Detox Barbie. Beautiful. Well, I
just spilled my drink all over myself. That was great. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, Detox Barbie. Sorry.
She says, hi there, Florida listener here. Yeah, could have guessed that by the name. DeSantis isn't against meat. He's against science. That was in regards to Florida being the first to outlaw engineered human meat to eat. I mean, engineered chicken meat, not human meat. Sorry.
What an idiot. Not the listener, not Barbie. She's rad. But,
yeah, no, Detox Barbie, you're wonderful.
Yeah.
Let me see. Got a couple more here. A friend from Idaho says, dude wipes, while not tasting minty, do smell winter fresh. And do not take away from the kissing experience.
Oh, my God. Do you even pre-toothpaste your butthole? Can you hear Brandon saying it now?
I know, right? I should put that as a drop.
Please do that.
And finally, we have a submission from a loyal listener for Guinness Time.
Submit to our... whatever. Stupidity.
Yes. Submit to our peer.
Yeah. Okay. For Guinness Time. Okay.
This is...
The game?
Yeah. This is an early one. And this time Sean can guess and Greg can guess. And I'll be the guy who just doesn't.
All right. Well, it's a little early, but it's Guinness time where we take guesses at dumb facts.
Pre-toothpasting our Guinness time.
Okay. Cool. Normally I don't commit to playing Guinness time when Brandon's on here, but we can't let the listeners down here. So let's do it.
All right. So a woman in Texas has just claimed the world record for donating the most amount of breast milk. Texas resident Alyssa Ogletree has shattered her own record for the largest individual breast milk donation. How much did she donate? Like, feel free to do it in liters because I don't stoichiometry.
Gallons?
No, liters.
It has to be in liters. Okay. Yeah.
Or you can do it in gallons. She, like, I just won't.
She crushes the Mountain Dew and then just starts refilling it right there.
Basically, yeah. Basically. Okay. Many 2-liter jugs.
So
how many liters are in a Home Depot bucket?
Let's ask our blue whale friend.
Wow. So she's like, there's like a shelf life on the amount of breast milk you can keep in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And then like... you have to refrain from drinking your own breast milk, and so you got to like factor that in.
That's probably the hardest part.
Yeah, it's a little saltier than you want it to be, but okay.
It's all good.
I'm going to say 8.4 liters.
8.4 liters. All right. Yeah, for a world record, 8.4 liters.
Four gigantic boobs on each side full.
Is this over a lifetime, or is it a period of years?
No, this is largest individual breast milk donation.
So she showed up and just had like collected this much and was still good, and she said, here you go, motherless babies.
That's right.
Or perverted men or women.
1,000
or
liters.
Or Siege. 1,000 liters.
1,000 liters.
All right.
Let's hear it.
Alyssa Ogletree donated an astonishing 2,645.58 liters to those in need.
She is a blue whale.
Talk about just being connected to the pump.
2,000 liters?
Dude, I couldn't even...
How many tits does she have?
Like, I mean, at least 25.
Oh my God, how many liters to a 5-gallon bucket? Okay, so it's 18 liters per 5-gallon bucket, so that's 5 per 100.
So that's at least, yeah.
I was 50, say, so that's like 100, and it's about 110 buckets, full, I mean, anonymous buckets full of fresh milk.
Well, damn.
Dang, dude, that's cool.
Alyssa
Good for
Ogletree,
you.
That is incredible. There you go. There you go. There's a picture. Good job, Gravy, hold using on. Up one of your Googles.
All right, hold on, Gravy. Oof, that's tough. I'm trying to decide if I'm attracted or not.
I am. Just like, I am. I'll just put it out there. I'm definitely, yeah.
I want everyone to know that was implied. As soon as you started telling the story.
If there weren't babies in need, I'd be laying on the floor and asking you to pour it all over me.
Who submitted this again? Someone from Idaho?
No. This one is actually from a loyal listener. It's our friend Kale Parker in Seattle.
Oh, Kale, thanks. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's the best.
Well, that is gross. That's amazing. I'm so glad she submitted this. This is cool. I actually want to put out a question of the week, if we could. Okay. Question of the week. Question of the week.
It's the week.
Nice. Oh, hold on. Wait, there's another picture that came in that I have to check out first.
Let's see. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm in. I'm going to say
yeah. I was going to say, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, question of the week.
Nice.
If we were going to apply music to Guinness time, do we do something, you know, jiggy? Not like Will Smith, but like Irish jig type thing, like Guinness or death metal or like. So the question of the week is, what is the style of music that we had? And that's like, you know, you got to imagine that I get it from work, from the service that we have, where some nerds that like love playing guitar write tracks or whatever. So it's like kind of
corny.
Wow,
you mean like an actually produced thing as opposed to like,
I believe
it's time for America's favorite.
I'm pretty sure what you have there is stolen, and that we're in, we're probably in some sort of copyright violation.
No, royalty free, baby.
I'm so mad at Brandon for not being here today. I like shaved down my beard so I'd have a mustache more than normal, and he's not here, and my feelings are hurt, and gosh.
He's being a jerk. He's being so selfish, getting a new house.
I mean, sure, he's going to have horse ghosts, which is awesome.
That's my favorite part. I can't get enough of the ghost horses, horse ghosts, whichever you want to call them.
I don't know which one is harder to say. Anyway. Oh, I got to get out my phone. I have notes that I took. Let's see. Sorry, I'm a little
slow.
It's
all good.
Here.
So you took notes on the phone, huh?
So first of all, I got to start off with some props. Last week was Gravy Week.
Gravy Week.
I'm really frustrated that we didn't give props to the Brown Angels last week. That seems
very true. Very true. I was
super rude. Yeah, like as soon as you posted the thing in the group chat, the logo for the Brown Angels or whoever did that, I was like, ah, how can we do that? It's Thanksgiving and Spokane's finest flying military, the turkeys and the trees, were not mentioned. And so, sorry, turkeys. I know you. I know numbers went down last week, and so it's probably because we didn't mention you when we talked all that turkey talk. But
they were upset.
But I also have to give props. I tonight I really housed a huge plate of Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
As donated by one Sean Gravy Gervin. It was Gravy Week last week, and he brought over his he brought me a full spread. Homeboy has like to-go containers upon to-go containers. Like this guy could run his own like pho restaurant. He's got it all.
Nice.
I feel like the mashed potatoes had more dairy than potato in them. They were fantastic. The stuffing has just little tiny chunks of apple in there to really like give it like a surprise flavor against the gravy.
Was it butt stuffing or box stuffing?
I think it was butt. I mean, he made it from scratch. I know that he cut off his own butt to make it. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
from the butt.
From the butt of his butt, he butted some butt stuffing, and that was fantastic. The gravy obviously goes without saying. Turkey was there. My piece of crap dog that like never listens to me. I get out the turkey and she's immediately like, I'll do whatever you want. I'm like, sit. She like sits. I'm like, build a car. She like starts, goes up Chip Foose and they start working on a fender. It's like, she could not have been more obedient in that moment than when she had the proper motivation. So what a piece of crap.
Terrible but animal.
Speaking of piece of crap, I eat all that food, but there's a bit of a problem in my brain. Back to the ADHD episode.
Nice.
I got home. I went to the, on my way home, I stopped at the grocery store with the kid and I was like, God, I want a burrito.
Mm.
So I bought a bag of frozen burritos and I haven't done it forever. And then I put them into the toaster oven because that's a good way to reheat some burritos. Is. And then I was like, dude, you have Thanksgiving stuff. And today is like day 5 of Thanksgiving stuff. It's got to get eaten. It's like, oh, well, I got to finish this off. So those are already cooking. Can't stop those. So I made a plate of Thanksgiving, covered it in gravy, ate the whole thing, then remembered to send a picture to Sean. And then I like the toaster oven goes off and I'm like, oh boy.
Oh, look at this dessert.
And I have this plate that's still covered in gravy and fixins. And I was like, I mean, I don't think a Hispanic or a Latino person would be like, you can't add turkey gravy to our burritos that were made in America by probably Mexicans, to be fair. But so I was like, all right, well, I got some sauce to wipe up. So dessert, as you say, we'll go ahead and put that on that.
Ooh.
You know what? It didn't do the gravy service because it was too spicy to really let the gravy sing, but it also was still delicious.
Well, see, that's one of the ways that I actually go after the leftovers is I'll slap down a nice big fat tortilla and fix myself up just like a full-on Thanksgiving burrito. You throw down some of those crispy French onions. You get the butt stuffing, a little bit of mashed potatoes, the turkey. Pour that gravy right on top of it. If you feel like going like the the turkey gobbler that they have at all the sub shops now, throw some of the cranberry sauce on top of that. Wrap that sucker up. Mm.
Controversial take: I think turkey might be the weakest part of the Thanksgiving meal.
I agree.
Oh,
I agree. Agree.
I mean, Sean, your turkey was great. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't. It's just, it's like someone's like, I can't wait to have a turkey sandwich. And I'm like, yeah, but you could be eating carbs instead. Screw your turkey sandwich. Unless you can dip it in the gravy, which everyone should do, like a French dip. Only like an American dip is probably what you got to call that. But
Thanksgiving dip.
Spokane dip. And it's actually a really good idea I'm having here. I think this is not too bad.
This is an excellent idea, and I definitely want to take it forward. Wait, how do you go where when you go with the frozen burrito? What direction do you go? Do you go like beef? Do you go bean? You go green chili?
First of all of the answers are incorrect. Not that your answers, but just like whatever you pick, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Because frozen burritos are awful.
They are
awful. I got a beef and bean and cheese with green chili bag of 8 burritos. I don't know. It's the brand that is in every grocery store in the universe, but I don't know what it's called.
When they come in the bag, it's automatically not great.
Yeah, yeah. And then like I'm like buying it based on bag color. Like I'm like, the green one probably has green chili in it. And like, I'm like, right? Oh, look at that. Right? I literally said in the grocery store as I saw one, I was like, a gluten-free burrito, like, just
no,
like, this is like, why are you doing that to yourself? And like, I realize that some people can't have gluten because they, you know, poop out their guts or whatever, and so fine,
but isn't it worth it?
I meant to like death, probably, but probably, and we've already established for these burritos, no, so, yeah. Three things. One, I saw when you're the Vietnamese guy at Thanksgiving and a guy brought his own rice papers and got them wetted up and he made spring rolls out of Thanksgiving, fresh Thanksgiving. And I was like, you are an innovator.
Sir. Yes.
You are welcome in this country. All you want.
Crispiness. Yes, please.
I tease, but like for real. I mean, I was like, you have changed the game, sir.
I've
seen other people do like kind of what you're talking about or getting out the waffle iron and putting Thanksgiving stuff in there. Yeah. Gravy instead of syrup or maybe both. I don't know.
All the above.
I've now put a burrito into gravy, but nobody is. I mean, I feel outclassed around the world now.
I am genuinely shocked that I've never even thought of that before you just mentioned it.
I mean, imagine if he took this combination to like Vietnam or something like that. Like, whoa, that'd be awesome.
They'd be like, stuffing.
Yeah. Now, you fellas know I don't like to throw around the phrase or the word gelatinous loosely, right?
I mean, really?
I'm not one to just throw that around. But Sean Gravy Gervin, let me tell you something. Out of the refrigerator today, the gravy is just the right amount of gelatinous, but also loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. It was like I was able to scoop it out with a spoon, but when it hit the bottom of the container that I was reheating it in, it like, you know, exploded into parts. And I was, I mean, if it got 4 degrees warmer as it sat out in the of the fridge, it would probably have turned back into a liquid, but it was just perfect. I mean, that consistency deserves, I think it deserves an award. I think Sean Gravy Gervin, champion of Gravy Week, is now an award-winning gravy specialist.
There we go. We're going to have to put it on the website.
He's our gelatin king.
Gelatin king.
Or gravy king is probably
gravy king. Gelatinous gravy king.
Yeah.
That could, be the that could be the G in our EGOT is the gravy.
Yes.
Get out of here. That is, that is for the chat right now, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And third, gravy. I know we've gone on a long time about Thanksgiving food or whatever, but I don't know what you did to make those dinner rolls that have the little hole in the bottom where you could stuff stuff in the, up in there or whatever, and a nice kind of like almost, there's a term for this type of like pastry. It's like a puff pastry or something like that.
It's a popover.
A popover. Mm. Holy cow. You gave me two of them, which is, first of all, he literally gave me a full spread of Thanksgiving food. It was amazing. I get a text Thursday morning. He's like, you got somewhere to eat bird? And I was like, I do not. And he was like, you want to come over? And I was like, oh, that's really nice. That's fun. And then I was like, wait a second, who's going to be at your house? And he was like, just my family. And I was like, hard pass. Thank you. And he's like, I'm going to open this expensive bottle of whiskey. And I was like, yeah, I'm into that. He's like, let me check with the wife. I did not hear back from Sean Gravy Griffin. It's for the better. So I started drinking it. We both started drinking at 9 a.m. from our respective homes. It was an amazing weekend. But yeah, to the fact that he came through yesterday, he's like, hey, I'm going to be running errands in your neighborhood. I was like, yeah, or probably not my neighborhood, but he drove all the way up here to drop off not just gravy, but again, I already went over all the details of the full plate that I served myself. I do think it's funny. Not a single green was involved in Sean Gravy Gervin's Thanksgiving feast.
So. They didn't keep as well. They didn't make it past the first night.
Yeah, that's it. We made one broccoli florette.
To be shared amongst the family. Thank God Greg didn't come because that would not have stretched. So. Yeah, so like I ended up on Thanksgiving Day, I bought myself a steak the night before, and I made myself a steak in the pan on the stovetop. I'm really good at that. And I haven't made a steak at home in the last forever. And before, I always like lived with a vegan person, and so I never had proper butter. And I made it with proper butter this time around.
The Irish butter?
And, oh, yeah.
Oh,
my man, it was something. And then I was like, well, I might as well have stuffing too. So I bought a bag of stuffing. I just bought the bag. It makes it 5 minutes. And then I was like, well, I need some greens. So I made some Brussels sprouts. Next thing you know, then I made some potatoes in the oven. And I was like, I just made myself Thanksgiving with steak. Superior choice.
Oh, absolutely.
Red meat for Thanksgiving blows the dumb bird out of the water.
Yeah. So
I'm thinking next year will be like maybe like cheeseburgers or something like that. But anyway, thanks to Sean Gravy Gervin for delivering on Gravy Week. It was really nice, and I was able to have myself a Thanksgiving, and then the former missus was like, hey, you want to do, you kind of got screwed on Thanksgiving, you want to do Thanksgiving? And I was like, yep. So I did three Thanksgivings without having to go to anyone's dumb Thanksgiving. It was amazing.
Oh,
so,
my God. And thank you for that recap on everything, because right now I just really want to take my pants off and lay down and just... I don't know, be fed carbs or rub them all over myself. I don't care what.
Why not both? Porque no los dos.
Yes.
So, anyway, yeah. I'm trying to get on ADHD medicine, and I missed the ADHD medicine appointment.
That's how it goes. The first one, always miss.
No, it was like the fourth one because it was like, it was the one where she actually gives me the drugs, though, where she's like, describes them, and I missed it. And now she won't write back to me, and it's the whole thing. So thanks a lot. You think you could understand your people better, lady, but all right.
It's the training.
It's funny, though, because like, in order to get uppers, to get the speed, the Adderall, it is, she's like, I need to know your blood pressure. And because I'm a man in my 40s, it is not great. So she was like, yeah, I can't do that. You got to see your PCP and you got to get on blood pressure medicine. And I'm like, I got to get some PCP and then even out my heart. And I don't want to be on any medicine. I just don't want my life to be miserable. And so and so I posted about it saying like, yeah, for Black Friday, my life has really taken a negative turn. Cause for Black Friday, I got excited to find a heart rate monitor, a blood pressure monitor that was on sale. So I didn't have to spend that much money, $30 or whatever. Okay. That's fine. And so many people came out of the woodwork to be like, I am also on blood pressure medicine. I am also a good friend that I used to do a podcast with was like, I also have a heart rate monitor. And I'm like, and so.
Wow. Gravy too.
That I know because his was a roller coaster ride of trying to get there. I just wasn't going to out him until he pointed at himself. So, and so like, I don't care about. Someone wrote back and she was like a pretty lady. Not that pretty ladies can't be on blood pressure medicine, but you just like, she's so like healthy and fit. And she wrote back to be like, I've been on it for 5 years. And I was like, I gotta be honest with you. I don't give a crap about my heart attacking me. I just want to clean my house. I just have to get my life together so I can like not be overwhelmed by my own inability. And she was like, that's sad. Like your kid would probably be, you know, upset if you lost in an attack from your heart. And I was like, Yeah, he knows to avenge me. Like, it's not like... He should just be happy when the house that he stays at sometimes is clean. Like, I think that'll make a bigger impact on him than me being or alive, I suppose. So.
See, the way I get my ADHD medicine is I just buy it from my friend and her stock.
Yeah, there you go.
That way I don't have to overburden myself. See, what I love about is... You want your life to be easier and more functioning and just less terrible. But then you have to take all these pills, which make it harder and less functioning and more terrible.
You talking about Blue Chew? The pills that make it harder?
Oh, wow.
This episode not brought to you by Blue Chew.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know, right?
Sponsorship button. No. There we go.
Telling. it's been a thing, I guess. I'm a mutant, obviously. We've talked about this. And so I have to be on a pill.
Human bruise.
Because I'm a mutant. And so that one I can accept. And then the crippling anxiety. Okay, fine. I'll take something for that. But now I've got to be on a blood pressure medicine to be able to be on a get your house clean medicine.
I could have told you about your blood pressure, like the difference between the color in your face 1 week to the next. You're either red or white or...
What are you... How dare you, first of all?
It's usually when I say stuff like that your face starts turning red.
First of all, how dare you? Okay. That one was for Brandon. Yes. Okay, well, so thanks for all the messages, nerdtalkplus.com. We love when you chime in. You might or might not be able to comment on the episodes themselves if you're listening on Spotify. We've seen a huge... amount of people listening on Spotify and so, or somewhere that's not downloading, and I assume that's where it is. And so, thank you for that. If you are downloading the show, that's awesome. We're supposed to do gratitude or whatever, and I was like, I'm tired of doing gratitude posts because I'm not really grateful for anything. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, no, I am. I like doing the show tremendously, and I like my job and career, and so it's nice. And I'm grateful for gravy. So there we go. Anyway, and for Japan, obviously.
As we
all right, into the show. Well, I brought this up last week. We didn't get to talk about it too much, I don't think, but I blame Axios Seattle because they suggested that after your Turkey Day dinner, I wonder if either of you guys had a chance to do this. Did anyone get out and try going for a fart walk?
Oh, yes. I got your message loud and clear.
And how did it go?
Oh, it went fantastically until it became a shard walk.
Gravy does not know what you're talking about.
Nope.
Apparently, this is just to fill anyone in. Apparently, after you stuff yourself, if you get up from the table and go for a nice walk around the block, it can help reduce bloating and acid reflux and potentially help stave off type 2 diabetes. Backed by a study from the University of Washington, the trick is you got to do it within an hour of eating to help regulate blood sugar level. That's the hardest time to go and do that. I just ate a Thanksgiving and burritos, plural, and then I've just laid on the couch for an hour watching Arsenal. Like, I'm not going to go for a walk. That's ridiculous. You probably need to take a heart blood pressure medicine.
But. I was going to say, you're starting to get a little red right around the cheeks.
Anyway, it's it helps to reduce or to regulate blood sugar levels and get the gases moved out of your system to promote good, healthy digestion. I found that it was impossible every time I overate. To be fair, I overconsumed booze all weekend long and just without. Only on Saturday did I get a little upset about it, a little weepy about it. But the rest of the weekend, I was in good form. So. It's not every weekend.
Go ahead.
It's not every weekend I buy myself a bottle of whiskey with the expressed goal of trying to just drink a bottle of whiskey without being like fight the neighbors drunk. So yeah.
I want to see that. I want to see fight the neighbors,
Greg. It's not great. It's one time I was 20 something and I was outside of the bar that we were at and we got kicked out at closing time or whatever. And I was just outside, giant mohawk, very drunk on whiskey, yelling, "Who's gonna make me a sandwich?" Just over and over. And no one messes with the guy with the giant mohawk who's screaming drunkenly. But also, it took me 2 decades to get past that. So here we are.
Did you ever get a sandwich?
No. Really? It's because some people have a translator with them that's like, I'm just yelling, "Who wants to touch my wiener?" And it's like, that's not. You know, some people just know that instinctively that I'm just masking by saying that. So
I feel like that's the only appropriate thing to do after having drank that much and being closing down a bar.
Yeah. I mean, I was out of line, but not for that parking lot. You know what I mean? For my normal life, but not for there.
Yeah. Plus you're 20. You have a mohawk. There's really no regrets at this point.
Yeah. So shout outs to Maloney's in Tucson.
Sup, dummies.
Burn in hell, dummies. Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Now I'm going to switch to this one. Seed, you sent me this. Scientists have revived a dead pig brain from New Scientist. 4 hours after this particular animal was decapitated, oh my god, they removed, scientists did, a brain from its skull, the brain from its skull, not a...
Just one.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yes.
They then connected the dead brain's vasculature to tubes that would pump a special cocktail of preserving agents into its blood vessels and turned the perfusion machine on, not sure what that means, that's when something incredible happened. The cortex turned from gray to pink. It's the blood. Brain cells started producing proteins. Neurons juddered back to life, displaying signs of metabolic activity indistinguishable from that of living cells. Basic cellular functions, activities that were supposed to be irreversibly cease after blood flow stopped, were restored. The pig's brain wasn't alive exactly, but it certainly wasn't dead. Okay. Now, for the first time, the team is using the technique on human brains. This is so creepy, dude. Yeah. I think this is like, I'm waiting for a guy to have multiple arms and lots of lightsabers to be a robot that benefits from this, as right? General Grievous is kept alive so he can fight the Jedi or something like that. But the top comment in it was on Instagram somewhere was, "As somebody who has signed papers to donate my body to science after I croak, please let's not do this. Gentlemen, would you want your brain to be sort of brought back to life after I cut off your head?" Asking for a friend.
Oh my God. This is just like, ever since I read this article, I kept going, when the brain is quote unquote alive again, yeah, does it regain consciousness?
Yeah, that's the real trick, huh?
Is it like, I know you haven't seen this movie, but it was the Tom Cruise movie, Vanilla Sky?
Please, you have to keep the meme alive. You have to say the name of it and then say, I haven't seen it.
Okay. So there's this movie, Vanilla Sky, with Tom Cruise.
I'm familiar.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen it, but I understand it has Nicole Kidman and it's weird.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Nicole Kidman or it's somebody, some blonde. Anyway, he like I believe he dies in a car crash and they keep his brain alive somewhere else like that, like well after he was dead. And I keep thinking back to that and all the like traumatic stuff that happens later on.
Cameron Diaz.
And I keep wondering if like the conscious, if is the conscious, this is where we all get into like that existential conversation of like, where is the soul? Is the consciousness this? Is it a reaction of the brain doing this or that? And
yeah.
I'm just like, well, if you'd like turn me back on and I'm just a brain and I have no other like nervous system or anything else.
He's getting a boner.
Yeah. how do I sense the outside world? How do I give myself that boner? How do I relieve that mental boner?
Siege is still in there.
He's still in there.
Siege, show us a sign.
The frontal lobe just
gross.
So yeah, I don't know.
This is such a great thing to like, because we literally have no concept to my knowledge. I'm obviously very stupid, but like there's no knowledge to be able to signify where the conscience or the like that sentience is actually. You can't like poke a part of the brain and be like, if we could just get that part restarted, then there would be consciousness again,
right?
That we know of, or that I know of. And so like, but then like other cultures, probably Japan, just to make it convenient
probably,
for me.
Probably. Yeah.
Like they don't think of their self as being their brain or their head. They think of it as being in their chest. Like your center of your chi is like where your heart is basically. And so your identity comes from within you lower.
Oh, I like that.
But my identity comes from where the annoying voice comes out of my head. It's like
your deep throat.
Between my deep throat.
He's awake.
Yeah, and so like I hope that it'll be terrifying, but I hope we live at a time it'll turn into like a religious war as it'll happen.
Oh,
when they can prove like, check this out, we can switch him off and switch him back on and there's still a person there, there's still a soul there, whatever the concept is that you want.
Yeah,
and they figure out where it's stored. Whatever. And then it'll be like, burn all the scientists, which is like, we're pretty close to anyway. But you
I
know.
Mean, I was going
to
say, we're like about a couple months away from that anyway.
I bought a pitchfork and a torch the other day, dude. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, I can't wait.
I was driving down Yesler a couple days ago and I looked at the new building there and there was like some windows and man, there was graffiti scratched all over them. And I was like, you know, those guys are right. This is way better. Like it looking like garbage is so much better than it being nice. Ah, thank God. So glad that that they set me straight.
Glad that we can still irritate you weeks later.
I literally took a picture to send to the chat and I was like, nah, we're not doing that. Yeah, I still have it. I'll send it.
I'm not going to make them eat it now. I'll make them eat it later.
So yeah, like if you could switch me back on after I'm dead, especially if you could let me be dead for like, I don't know, a few hundred years and then bring me back, God. So I can see what happened. Like
a nap.
Yeah. Oh, I could use a nap real bad too. Look at these eyes, man. Poof. Yeah, it would be fascinating to say the least to be able to like see how things change. Like here's a question. How far into the future do you think we'd have to go for it to be like weird, real weird, and too weird? Like how many years have to elapse that they wake you up and you're like right back to normal now? Everything Ooh. Just continues. Like the stop motion machine brings you back. When do you think it's just weird, too weird, weird, super weird, and too weird?
Like they bring you back. The question that I would have to the only real thing that I would need to know on this is, do I have a body or am I just a brain?
No, they're bringing you back fully. Like you are Fry from Futurama.
Gotcha.
The time machine or the cryo machine opens up. Ding. How many years would it just be like, okay, this is pretty weird. How many years would it be like, whoa, dude, this is messed up. And how many years would it be like, all right, to the booth.
Too weird is probably by the time we're in another galaxy and interspecial marriage has already been approved and like there's just alien
I wish
human
I had three
hybrids.
Hands.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. So like that might be a little bit too weird. That might be a little bit too shocking. But I think of all these. God, I don't know how many times they've reused this concept, where it's, whether it's in a book or in a movie, where it's, we're trying to save the human race and we're going to put so many people asleep on this ship and send it to this planet that's so far away. And these people wake up so many years later and they're just in this ship and they were supposed to be getting to the planet, but oh no, they weren't getting to the planet. They were never going to make it. They have to like form a family like on the ship, and then they die. And then the kids go to sleep for 50 years or whatever, that kind of stuff. And it's just, it's like, man, that drives me crazy. It's blowing my mind just thinking about it right now. I'm sorry.
I read half a book and then got distracted. I mean, typical.
Nice. ADHD.
Called Children of Time by Adrian Tchaikovsky. And it's like they sent a generation ship out a gazillion light years to a planet where before that they had sent out a probe to do the Star Trek 2. Which one is it? Star Trek 2, where they send the pod to the planet and then it populates.
Yes.
What do they call that? Terraforming?
Yeah.
And terraforming. They send these things out and they expect apes to take over, but instead spiders became the dominant species.
Oh, perfect.
And so monkeys didn't like excel. And so, they get there and it's like, it has not gone how they planned it to, but it's like pretty cool. The spiders are pretty cool. And like, for someone who doesn't like spiders because of how they wronged me in the graffiti aisle, they are. But for somebody who's not a big spider fan I like Spider-Man, but not a big spider fan. I didn't expect to like it so much, so much that I didn't finish it. But they talk about how humanity escaped after the wars that erased all of our knowledge, and then they had to rebuild society and get back there again to space flight, and then they lost the ability to do space flight again.
Oh, Jesus.
Because we're so stupid, ultimately. We're just trying to kill each other all the time. True. I understand your premise exactly, where they get the ship there and it's like, well, an acceptable amount of refrigerators failing over the 10,000 year journey is 4%. So you can expect that 4,000 people have died between the time we left and now. Yep. And then people start waking up and they're like freaked out. They make plans and they're like killing each other on board. Yeah, that's cool.
Ugh.
I should finish that book. It was pretty neat. And I'm probably doing a bad job of remembering it. But I remember one of the spiders' name was Portia. And I was like, that's cool.
So. That's outstanding. I like that. I'm trying to find this note that I got from one of my friends who actually sent me. It's by the guy who wrote The Martian.
Andy Weir.
Yes, Andy Weir. And it's, I guess, one of the other books where this guy's trying to essentially do the same thing, but he's out in space alone. I'm trying to find what the name
is. Is it Project Hail Mary?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes,
Project Hail Mary. She just put me onto this, and she was asking if I had read it yet. She's like, but, I haven't read The Martian yet, so I can be like, oh, so you guys read The Martian, and be all highfalutin about, no, I read Project Hail Mary, thank you very much.
I recommend talking to one of our friends who is good at finding things on the internet and listening to the audiobook, because Ray Porter reads it, and he is... Ooh. It's maybe... I'm biased, so I'll leave out my bias, but it's maybe my favorite narration I've ever heard.
I said, when you said Ray Porter, I was like, ooh, and I thought Ray Parker Jr., but, you know.
but yeah, it's wonderful. It's well worth it, and a guy who's trying to save humanity in a rocket ship by himself encounters. Awesome. Yeah, it's really, also... The Martian was an awesome book. Yes. I really enjoyed reading that, and I thought the movie... I remember coming out of the movie and my wife was like, I was like, it's a bummer. They kind of cut out like this huge chunk of it. And she was like, are you kidding me? They couldn't have been any more suspenseful. No one would have made it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Cause I thought they like let us off the hook big time. She's like, the book sounds awful. Okay. Well,
yeah. It's like, oops, sorry.
So, I'm an audiobook nerd. So like if anyone is ever looking for like space or sci-fi type stuff, like I will probably have a few recommendations for you, but one that I definitely recommend is Project Hail Mary. It's like on the Reddit for audiobooks, every single one that comes up space sci-fi, it's always the first thing that people recommend.
Cool.
As I've said, I'm a huge fan of The Expanse. Gravy turned me on to that, and I'm 2/3 of the way through book 9 of 9 right now, having listened to the whole thing again starting a few months ago, and it is unbelievable how wild a journey that they've got on, and how like how this book has changed or how the series has changed over, like, it's three duologies and one trilogy in the nine book series. And it's just, The Expanse is so, so worth it. Even if you only listen to the first one, it's so good. And then the next one is like all the same characters. The narrator is incredible, but it's a different approach. And then the next two are a different approach. And it's really, really cool. I can't recommend it enough. And the whole thing is about to tie together right now. And so
that sounds awesome. And I'm really stoked to start getting more into audiobooks. The only reason I never did them before is because, like, I don't have the money to sit here and pay for all these books left and right like that. But my library down here does free audiobooks, whatever you want. Like,
get the Libby app.
Yeah, exactly. That's all. Like, and I just found that out about a month ago. So I just signed up this past week, just before Thanksgiving, and I am like locked and loaded, ready to go. So
yeah, it's again, we have a friend that can probably assist you with some of this. And so anyway, okay. So this is great news for lazy students. You probably have some of those. You're a teacher. From Forbes.com, more than 90% of the college papers written by AI either go undetected or unpunished. My question is, how do they know that it's been written by AI and gone undetected? If it's unless they know, which, you know, how would you pull that off? But anyway, it's because the researchers submitted them on purpose anonymously to see if they could get by the detection.
Wow.
Now, it's not that people can't detect potential AI usage. To prove it or whatever. It's not that they can't detect it. It's how do you prove it? And there's this phenomenon that, especially at the university level, they have a lot of trouble with this because there's certain keywords or certain ways of writing that AI does that puts together language the same way that somebody that doesn't speak English as their first language, if you're grading in English, assembles words. And so they were finding that they were pointing the finger at people, at minorities who were studying from abroad using English as their second language. And so it's hard to constantly level these accusations against people and have them be like, that's racist. And they're like, and so at the college level, you might as well just use AI. I would argue you're paying $40,000 a year to go to school and you should probably
get your damn education, do the work,
your brain and do something with it. But also, I mean, the chances are real good that you're going to get away with it. So, it's crazy, dude. We think about this AI stuff all the time, and to know that even when it's detectable, you still have to prove that it's being, that it actually happened or whatever. How do you do that?
What happens in my head is I always go back to like the same thing. It's programming. It's a certain set of data and it's a standardized form that it goes through the way to it building something. So like if you were to use ChatGPT and ask it the same question like 100 different times, wouldn't it give you the same answer if you were at like 100 different ports? But it doesn't. And that's what throws me off with the, you know, the not being able to detect it type stuff, is because I would expect, you know, a similar or same answer each time from each different port. But if you're going to ask it the same thing where it has to grow and evolve its answer each time, like if I were to ask it 100 different times on my computer, first off, it would send me that message where I'm worthless and I should die. Did you ever get that one?
No.
I swear to God, I thought I sent it to you. It was ChatGPT. It was a guy filling out, I guess he was like asking questions on a quiz. And the thing got so like frustrated with it that ChatGPT or, I'm sorry, whatever AI service it was using, it might have even been Gemini. I don't know. I don't know which one it was. But it got so frustrated by it asking the questions over and over that it basically said, you're useless. You have no worth. You should probably die. Wow. Yeah.
Sorry, boss. Oh,
So I'm sitting here thinking, like, if I ask ChatGPT, it'll evolve its answer till it's eventually frustrated and tells me to Sydney Sweeney's boob myself. Or if I ask it 100 times across 100 different units where each one has to evolve the answer or come up to the same answer, would it be the same? I don't know if I'm explaining that right. I'm just...
Well, so for me, it's like how much... If I ask it to write 1,000 words about Sydney Sweeney's boobs, like how much... If I asked it 100 times, how much of it would be the same? I mean, at what level, what percentage would be the same word for word?
Yeah.
How much of it would be like the same gist presented, like the same flow, but with different, a little bit different? Like, how recognizable would the overlap be between responses?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Because like, if I'm the instructor and I'm like the, I'm the coolest instructor ever, that's like, write 1,000 words about Sydney Sweeney's boobs, and like, then I just ask the same question, and then I ask ChatGPT, hey, here's 1,000 words, how similar is this to what you've said? And it's like, oh, I answered that on Tuesday at 10:31 a.m. You know, Pensacola. And you're like, yeah, see? Like, at what point can you either do comparative stuff or ask it to do the comparison for you to be able to bust somebody for having done that? This is fantastic. Yeah, it's also terrifying, but...
Yeah, of course. It also blows me away. And plus, I have a friend who works in building AI stuff that I've only found out about, like, not too long ago. But she's been telling me more and more that she's also a listener. And she was telling me more and more that AI is stupid.
Yeah.
She's like, we should never be afraid of it, because it's like, I can literally teach it that 2 + 2 = 5 right now. And it will forever think that, no matter what anybody else teaches it. But it's to the point, though, that when it's open and when it's evolving, you have no control over it. And she was using an example for something else, like, similar question like this. Like, if you're telling it to do 1,000 words and it can't come up with 1,000 words, it's just gonna throw some stuff in there,
just like just pads it with whatever it wants,
make it up.
Also, they're, lava monsters, you're like, wait, boobs,
yeah, excuse me, thank
come
you
come on robot.
Lava lamps.
I have a buddy who's also in he's got his own AI startup that he's doing or whatever, and he was like, hey, you want to try it? Use it for your radio show? And I was like, quite the opposite. I don't ever want it to do my radio show.
Thank you.
And he's like, don't be afraid of it. It's only as smart roughly as a kitten. And I was like, first of all,
I
know a kitten, and it bites me a lot. So first of all, that's no good. But like, if you've heard any, like I had a conversation with one of our production guys today, and he was like, some of the modules for ChatGPT to talk to you sound more real than is necessary. And you can easily type in a script and you could have it change to 10 different voices and be on 10 different radio stations, all from a prompt. And not have, never have. And I'm like, you don't need me. And he's like, well, that's where it comes in, is that your character is what separates you from the ability to perform the thing. And I'm like, yeah, but you need one of me to write for 20 stations. And then you can like, you can have it reproduce itself. That's the danger, is the efficiency, not the intelligence, until it becomes like general intelligence, in which case I think that's when we get screwed. But like, just because it's really stupid now doesn't to me mean that we're not going to teach it to teach itself how to get smarter faster. And like, exponentially until we're like, oops, and then like judgment day.
Yeah, here we go, we're back in the brain thing.
And so like, I realize that the way to approach this is that AI is really dumb now, but also, if like my buddy was like, listen, an AI, you versus an AI in a room with 30 people, which one is going to entertain the crowd better? And I'm like, if I entertain the crowd at, you know, let's say 100 out of 100, and ChatGPT does it at 37 out of 100, but it only costs $11 a month, let me tell you who's going to do that math real quick.
Exactly.
And be like, we don't care if it's great, we need it to be cheap.
Yep.
And then once they'll overcorrect and realize that was a mistake, and they'll get me for half the price then next time and be like, ah, aren't we nice?
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
That's like that's the big fear, is that how you could see how easy I could replace myself with it or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, hosting next week's episode, Gerg 2.0 is going to be Gergbot. So,
Greg two leg.
Yeah, Greg 2.0 leg.
Yeah, I had a student in one of my classes. I teach radio broadcasting, podcasting, all sorts of stuff like that. And for a voiceover segment of this, I had a student who was trying to tell me that they actually had been approached by a voiceover basically system where they get paid $100. That's it, $100.
Yeah.
And you have forever given your licensed voice over to a robot. And they can use your voice in whatever that they want.
And they have you read a 5,000 word thing script. A script, and then it has all the parts that it needs to be able to construct human language sounding authentically.
Exactly.
I wish I would have said that correctly, but I didn't. But that's terrifying.
You're literally coming to school to do this.
Yeah.
Why would you give away your tool?
You spent more money on this class.
Yeah, exactly.
than you're making in that.
That's a $100 transaction. You know,
I made $100 this afternoon. Okay,
hell so yeah. In a much better way.
Okay, so this is pretty terrifying. And the AI, let's bring it back down to earth here a little bit. By fusing fungi and robots, researchers hope to create a sustainable and biodegradable skin capable of sensing a variety of stimuli, as demonstrated by a model of the Terminator. I love this. NewScientist.com. Researchers have created a living skin made from a fungus. I think that's where I got this from. The skin, which can sense light and touch, could one day be used as a sustainable and biodegradable sensor for electronics. You shoot it with light, it gets mad and tries to curl back into itself. The energy that it exudes is enough to make the legs on a little miniature robot move. Electronic sensors that can detect stimuli such as light, temperature, and humidity are often made from silicone and are complex to manufacture. They are also limited to detecting a few things at once, says Antoni Gandia at the Polytechnic University of Valencia in Spain. Living organisms such as fungi, however, are much easier to manipulate and reproduce. So you get mycelium, you cover a robot skeleton in it, you tell it to do stuff, and voila. Now, in less terrifying conditions where we're not fighting the mushroom people, the kombucha mushroom people.
Oh, nice.
we're not fighting the mushroom people, but you put the outside of a building, you cover it in a mycelium skin, and it detects light or heat or whatever, and then can react and set the processes inside of the building into motion. That's pretty cool. I think being able to grow something that is replaceable via growth is pretty neat. Again, read The Expanse. Books 7-9 deal with a lot of this, with the protomolecule being put into effect by humankind.
And if you get a chance to watch The Last of Us on HBO, that's the mushroom people. And all I can think about after dealing with the mushroom people is the fungi is part of the mushroom kingdom, or not necessarily kingdom, but... like, they're friends. They're on the same team. All I need is these fungi detecting, my shadow walking by and telling the mushroom people to come get me over here when I'm just trying to be quiet out in the sunshine.
A network of cells all linked together. Because some of those fungus, the largest fungi in the world is, one big organism in, Oregon, right? That's, giant forest of fungus that, goes acres and acres of space, 1,000 acres or something like that, is all one organism working together amongst all the other stuff that's out there.
Yeah, so. It's so crazy. Like all the stuff that I've been seeing, I've noticed a lot of this more and more. And I don't know if this is, new science or stuff that's just been noticed, how people would talk about, even amongst canopies of trees, how people used to think that they would fight to get higher for the sunlight, but they really just match each other. If you're looking at them directly from underneath, you'll see that one will be here and another one will be here, and they'll leave little spaces in between to let the sunlight down to the floor, but they're not fighting each other. They're actually kind of mirroring each other to assist all in one giant ecosystem, and to the point that they were talking about multiple trees and multiple plants, not even of the same species, that if they notice that one plant is in danger, that the root systems of the other plants around them will help either bring them water or heal them. And it's just all of this is completely new to where everything that I was taught when I was growing up.
Cut it down.
Yeah, exactly. Cut them all down, burn the forests, eat the mushrooms.
It's pretty weird how the trees don't touch also, typically. They grow in a way that they don't necessarily have any contact with one another, which I think is cool. I mean, they might in the breeze or something like that, but
yeah, they grow out, they don't. But all that's to let in light to the floor.
you have to manage a whole ecosystem. It's crazy.
It's insane. Yeah, it's insane.
But
trees
hey,
are smarter than us.
I think better. Yes, but also I think to process it, we are part of a bigger system. It's the unity of multiplicity. We think that we're a million different little individual things, but show me a deer without giving me any other details about it whatsoever, and you can't do it. You have to say it stands in the woods. Well, what are woods? And then you have 5 billion other things you can say about it. You can't just say, imagine a deer with nothing and have it be a real deer or whatever. That's like you can matrix it and have it be in a white room with nothing. But even then, I have to describe a white room with nothing. It's like you can't say forest without meaning a million things. You can't say any one object without having to have schema to understand what that object is amongst other objects.
That's so awesome.
Like, to think that like any individual thing is doing going alone is ridiculous, which is a very individual human thing that we do a lot. Anyway,
eat mushrooms.
Yeah. Love a good mushroom on my steak, my Thanksgiving steak, my new tradition.
Buttery.
All right. Well, it's time to go to bed. So it's time to wrap this thing up and talk about what do we learn this week? After all, this is a heady show. Sean, Gravy Gervin, Gravy Champion.
I got to say thank you for all the praise.
Yeah, it was great.
A lot of hard work that day. I will say
anything to keep your family from talking to you.
It's a busy day. It was a rough day for the household, but, you know, we got through it. You did learn, though, Greg, that Thanksgiving is better when it's in threes.
Yep.
The rule of threes. And then deep fried is a spring roll. But I think next year, are we doing prime rib for Thanksgiving next year? Is that what
Yeah. That sounds like it.
I'm coming over.
Yeah, that's the plan. Come on out.
We learned Brandon has put his murder bed in the ghost ranch, so that's going to be summoning some sort of evil demons. Evil demon horses. I do have to mention, though, that the Star Trek II is the Wrath of Khan. It's the best one,
I will
say. And it's the Genesis device is what you're thinking about.
Yes, and it's 3 is about recovering Spock, right?
That's the search for Spock. The Genesis device was used to regenerate his body, essentially. But they didn't really intend to do that. But speaking of regenerating bodies, Siege wakes up in 3,000 years. It's especially very weird, but they only bring him back to be the last Florida man to repopulate the Earth.
Oh, hell yeah!
Ah, that's great. Yeah, Fat Bachelor lives again.
I am here for this one.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!